Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pitti Engineering Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after today's presentation. Please note that this conference call will be recorded. Joining us on this call today are Mr. Akshay S. Pitti, VC MD, the senior management team of the company presidents, Mr. Varun Agarwal, Mr. Sandeep Agarwala, Mr. Rishab Gupta, and Mr. Nand Kishore Khandelwal, CFO. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome everyone to our Q3 FY22 earnings call. We hope you have had a chance to review the presentation of our results, a copy of which is also available on our website. I will touch upon the operational and financial performance of the company and then open the floor for a Q&A session. The Indian economy remains on track to regain its position as the world's fastest-growing major economy at 9.2% this fiscal. The growth-focused Union Budget 2022 lays down a roadmap with historic allocation of rupees 7.5 lakh crores CapEx for developmental project. PM Gati Shakti Master Plan, the extension of date for setting up new units to avail lower income tax benefits, focus on productivity enhancement, measures to grow EV ecosystem, promotion of data centers, additional orders of Vande Bharat Express trains, among others, has laid out a path for long-term sustainable growth for the country. The inclusion of data centers and energy storage systems in a harmonized list of infrastructure facilities facilitate credit availability will increase the pace at which data centers are set up across the country. A 35.4% increase in capital expenditure on national highways expansion of 25,000 kilometers is going to trigger a capital expenditure wave in cement, steel, and mining sectors, which form an integral part of our end-user markets. We at Pitti Engineering are excited about various opportunities for the company to capitalize on with these announcements. I'm further delighted to report the company has recorded good quarterly numbers across all key performance indicators like sales, EBITDA, and PAT. Let me take you through the financial and operational highlights for the quarter ended December 21. The income from operation for the quarter stood at 265.46 crores, which is 75% higher on a YOY basis. In quantitative terms, sales were at 8,542 metric tons against 6,674 metric tons during the corresponding quarter last year, registering a volume growth of  27.99%. Capacity utilization during the quarter was 83.90%. EBITDA stood at 34.28 crores, up by 35.92% on a YOY basis. PAT was 11.52 crores, up by 58.68%. The company has generated a cash of 21.26 crores during the quarter. Income from operations for 9 months stood at 683.8 crores, which is 95.8% higher on a YOY basis. EBITDA was at 97.27 crores and PAT was at 31.88 crores. Considering the reported numbers, we are on path to achieving rupees 900 crores as our top line for the full year. Blended sale realization for the quarter was 310,000 rupees per metric ton. Blended EBITDA per metric ton was 40,128. Coming to the operations, company received LOI for supply of stator and rotors from two reputed manufacturers of e-bicycles and two-wheelers in the EV space. Company has also received significant approvals for certain products from Indian Railways, having potential of high volume runners in the future. We also received an LOI and sample order to supply components for power tool motors from a well-established power tool manufacturer. The company bagged an order from TMEIC to supply stator assemblies and complete rotor diecast with shaft worth 15 crores and an order of 15 crores for supply of 3.4 megawatt wind generator stator rotor assembly from Siemens Gamesa during the quarter. Company has experienced good flow of new inquiries and is correspondingly doing good product development, which are converting into LOIs and pilot orders. We are excited that these new inquiries are coming from exciting new end-user applications, including EV power tools. and e-mobility. The global supply chain disruptions due to Omicron had delayed the supply of various machines from Europe, Japan, and China, which were expected in the December quarter. We expect the same to now arrive in quarter four and be available for production in quarter one, FY23. The company is on track for its expansion plans in Aurangabad and has acquired the adjoining land to its existing facility. The CapEx will be completed by year-end FY24, with incremental capacity enhancement starting from Q1 FY23. Capacity by end of this year would stand at 48,000 metric tons vis-a-vis the current 41,000 metric tons. I continue to see buoyant demand from all our key end-user segments. Order book and forecast as of 31st December 2021 stand at 978 crores. I would now open the floor for a Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Sudhir Vera from Right Time Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations for the good set of numbers, sir. Sir, my question is, your volume is almost constant compared to Q2 of this financial year. And the value-added quantity is slightly down. So can you throw more color on that?
Yes, Mr. Suri. See, the volume is constant because, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, that the expected capacity enhancement which was supposed to happen in this quarter could not take place due to the delay of arrival of equipment. Right. Therefore, the volume is constant as we could not have the new capacity available. As far as the product mix is concerned, a little bit up and down in value add and loose will continue. It's a dynamic situation, and I think it is well within the acceptable limits.
So, can we expect increase in the volume in Q4 or enhanced capacity will start only from 1st April?
See, the machines are still incoming. We have not received all our equipment even as of today. So, the capacity will be fully available for quarter one of next year. For quarter four, we don't expect more than 8,600 tons based on the current capacity availability. We have the orders, but because of not having the capacity in time, we are not able to get higher sales in this quarter four.
Okay, understood. And sir, can you elaborate more on the LOI which you have received from the two-wheeler EV manufacturer? So what is the potential over there in the current, in the next financial year and thereafter?
See, out of the two LOIs, one LOI comes with a sticker of 15 crores potential revenue per year. It's a first LOI for a limited batch production. The second LOI is more of a product development at the customer's end. The volume indication for that is not available as of now. We will get to know that once they try it in the market and come back to us with their estimates.
Mm-hmm. So,
see, in this sector, Mr. Sudhir, the my take on this sector would be that it's an emerging sector. So any number potential is always fraught with a little bit of risk. But therefore, also at the same time, you know, I would say that this is a fast-growing sector. So, you know, any numbers that we are seeing today can increase exponentially in a year's time as well.
Yes, right.
It all depends on how quickly the country adopts and accepts electric vehicles and e-mobility.
Right. And so my last question is, EBITDA has come down Q-on-Q slightly, and that has affected your EBITDA margin. So going forward, what is the outlook, sir, on this?
See, like I mentioned in the past also, we see 40,000 rupees per ton EBITDA as a stable EBITDA. It will go up as our volumes will go up in the next year. It is marginally down on EBITDA per ton. If you would see, it's down about 300 rupees, and also the volume is down by 70 tons. Due to that, it is down by about 90 lakhs when compared to the last quarter, which is not very concerning to us at this point.
So can you give some guidance on EBITDA margin next year for FY 2023?
For FY 2023, we see the EBITDA margins at around 40,000-42,000 per metric ton.
Oh, great. Great, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and all the best, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sudhir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Sanjay Awatramani from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. Sir, what is the capacity utilization you mentioned in the opening remarks? I missed on that, sir.
It is 83%.
83%. Okay, and what is the debt we are holding right now in the books?
Come again?
The debt. Is there any debt in the books we're holding?
The total debt you mean as a company?
Yeah, yeah, that's right, sir.
So our debt profile as of 31st March would be about 330 crores.
So this will be for full year, right?
As of December.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
330 crores. My mistake.
Okay, 330 crores. Yeah, and the order book is at 987 crores.
987 crores.
Okay, sir. So what is the cash as of December? We have it in our books.
Just one second.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The cash as of 31st December is about 30 crores.
Okay. Okay, 30 crores. And, sir, the EBITDA margin, you said that that is 40,000-42,000 per metric ton. Can you quantify that in percentage terms?
In percentage terms, Mr. Sanjay, the problem in our industry is that we have a 100% pass-through on the raw material prices. So when the prices of raw material goes up, our EBITDA margin as a percentage of sales comes down.
Okay. Okay.
In quarter three, our margin, EBITDA margin per, as a percentage has come down, while absolute EBITDA and volumes have remained flat. So if the RM prices decrease, our margins will increase as a percentage. So that's why we try to do this blended EBITDA per ton, because that's a more accurate reflection of the operational performance of the company.
Okay. 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 This is okay, sir. Next part is that we have this 15 crore order for, from this EV and one more order of 15 crore for wind and hydropower projects, right? Is that the understanding right?
No, we have a 15 crores LOI from the e-mobility space.
Okay.
Apart from that, we have an order from the wind turbine space from Siemens Gamesa and another order from TMEIC. These are two major orders bagged in this quarter, apart from the existing orders and other things that we have in the normal course of business.
Okay. Okay, this clarifies, sir. Thank you so much, sir. This is all from my end.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anurag Roonwala from Money Bee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. My query is actually related to the margins that we are earning on our sales. So, if you see in percentage terms, we see that, you know, the material cost has been increasing since the past two, three quarters. I mean, last year it used to be around 65%-66%, but now in the last two quarters, I see that it has gone up to nearly 70%-73%. Where do you think this is going to stabilize going forward?
See, Anurag, I don't think I'm even competent to predict that because this is a commodity industry. If the steel prices continue to rise, while our margins on absolute terms will remain consistent, as a percentage, our material costs will go up. As the steel prices start easing, then you'll see the reverse trend happening. So, you know, it's very difficult to predict where these prices are going to go.
Okay. So in absolute terms, I was seeing that, I mean, these margins, if you calculate the spreads, meaning, you know, the gross margin, per metric ton, I was seeing that it is around 84,000 per metric ton. Is that right, anything close to what you guys see in your numbers?
Yes. So, see, we track it on a blended EBITDA margin. So on the blended EBITDA margin, you're seeing about 40,000. If you see on gross profit level, it should be about 84,000, what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't have that number in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it should be around that level.
Okay. And EBITDA, you mentioned that you expect it to go to 40,000-43,000 in the next year. And what about when we are running on full capacity, post the capex that we have envisaged?
I think again it will be stable around 42 only. It will not go beyond 42 at this point. To, you know, predict will be real difficult. So we are being conservative and suggesting about 42,000. It has the potential to go up if the capacity utilization is above 80%. It has the potential to go up even higher than that.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And the next question is related to the expansion plans. So I understand that the next set of machines are expected to come in the upcoming quarter. But I also understand that you would be undertaking the greenfield expansion. How will that pan out?
So the existing equipment which are supposed to come in quarter three are going to start arriving in quarter four, and that will go and sit in our existing shed and building. As for the greenfield expansion that's taking place all around our existing facility, so we have acquired land on all three sides of our existing facility, and we are creating new infrastructure there where additional machines which will be bought in FY23 will come and get housed.
Okay, and so when do you think that expansion will sort of get over?
That expansion will be fully completed by FY24.
Okay, but every quarter, do you think there's going to, like you mentioned in the previous calls, every quarter will we be able to see expansion in the capacity? Or is it that, after four of these machines which come in the fourth quarter, there will be a gap, and only after the greenfield sort of completes, then we will see the expansion? How will this pan out?
See, the way we are currently estimating it is that once the current lot of equipments come and get capitalized by quarter four end, that will give to a significant increase in capacity from the current 41,000 to 48,000 will go. After that, it will take about 6-7 months for the buildings to be created. And then subsequent to that, every quarter on quarter, you should be able to see an increase in capacity.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nishit Shah from Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Dhruv Shah here. Congratulations on a really good set of numbers. I have basically two questions. Does our utilization go up to only 80%, or can we go above that as well?
See, our typical utilization, or the most efficient utilization of capacity, as we say it, is about 80% because of the tool changes and downtime that it requires to service our machine. Push comes to shove, it can be pushed above 80%. If you have seen in quarter two, we were actually operating close to 88%. But that's not the right utilization for the machine from the long-term perspective, from the long-term health of the equipment.
Right. So when you suggest that we are going to go up, best case we can do a 60,000, right?
So out of the 72,000 installed capacity that we are targeting by the end of FY24, 80% is what we estimate to utilize out of it, which is about 60,000 tons.
So my next question is, when you say that we are getting into data centers and EV, does the realization per ton also increase with the new applications, or does the realization remain the same, just that the quantum of our supply increase?
Realization per ton depends on the level of value add we are doing. So for an electric vehicle, we can supply a simple loose lamination also. We can also supply a fully assembled component. So the value add determines the realization per ton.
But all these new applications would be value add, right? Or is it a plain vanilla as well?
No, it really depends. So for the data center applications, it's highly value added. Based on the current inquiries that we have from the e-mobility space and EV space, both, the value, the LOIs are all over the place. So we have some which are for loose lamination, some which are for highly value-added components as well. So the industry segment will not determine the realization per ton per se. It will have a bearing because the grade of raw material that you typically use for an electric vehicle is a very superior grade. So the basic cost of material is higher, therefore the selling price is higher. But that does not mean that the margins on EV will be higher.
Are we giving a separate EBITDA per ton for a value add and sheet?
No, so the value add is on the same product that we do. For loose sheets that are there, we just add more value in terms of machining or integrating more components and assembling them. So for us, it's all one consolidated segment.
Okay, great. And congratulations once again and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jehan Bara from Nirmala Bank. Please go ahead.
Sir, you just said that the capacity could reach 48,000 tons by end of current year. So by end of the next year, what can be the capacity?
Hello?
Yeah.
You mean by end of FY23?
FY23, right.
By the end of FY23, we estimate it will rise from 48,000 to close to 60,000.
Okay. Right. And on an average, what would be the execution period for any order?
It depends. If it's a product which is already developed with us, the execution period can be as little as 2 weeks. But if it's a new product that we need to develop right from tooling stage or engineering design stage, it can take close to a year and a half.
Okay. So then in that case, it does make sense to monitor your order book also, right, sir?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I was initially thinking it would be around 3 to 6 months, these kind of orders, but if, okay, fine, that I got it. In Maharashtra, regarding the incentive scheme, in the previous call you had said that you are expecting 400 crore over a period of 13 years. So, sir, if I just divide these numbers 400 by 13, we get a figure of 30 crores per year. But I think at the time of booking, you were giving a figure of around 16 crores for a year. So where is the disconnect, if you can help me with this?
There's no disconnect. We have implemented the CAPEX in Aurangabad in multiple phases as we are going to do the new CAPEX as well. So the phase one that we had implemented was 113 crores, which had got the approval for mega project. That amount we are supposed to get over 7 years, equally divided. So it was about 14 crores a year. So for 2 years, we booked 16 crores, while the sanction has come for 16 crores. Because of that, we have booked 16 crores. For the current year, FY22, which we'll be booking in FY23, that will be 32 crores. Because the second phase of Aurangabad is already commissioned, a total of 180 crores. So with that, our pro rata run rate goes to 32 crores. This 32 crores will run for the next 4 years. After which our Aurangabad new expansion will kick in, which will be again about 32 crores per year.
Okay. Fine.
For another 7 years after that.
Right. Okay. And sir, last question from my side. If I see your annual report, I can see there is some dealings with, I think, group companies, Pitti Castings and Electrical. So what is this relationship is there a thought to merge them with the listed company, or any thoughts from your side?
See, the relationship with Pitti Casting is that we buy these castings that are used in our machining business as well as the value-add business from them. They are the approved supplier from our end clientele for many of the parts that we machine and sell. As far as merging these two companies are concerned, subject to board approval, I'm pretty much open to merging it, subject to regulatory permissions and board clearance.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dheera from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if I look at on a quarter-on-quarter basis, sir, we have not seen much growth in our order book. It has remained almost flat.
Yes, it has remained almost flat. That's correct.
Yes, so any reason for the order book remaining flat on a quarter-on-quarter basis, or we have not received any order during the quarter?
See, we have completed close to 260 crores of sales in this quarter, so it's not like we have not received any orders. So we have consumed 265 crores of order book and replaced it as well. See, right now our capacity is at almost full utilization, so we are not able to deliver to our customers. So first we need to, you know, increase our capacity, start making the higher sales, and then only we'll getting more order flows for our order book.
Okay, okay. Got your point, sir. And what could be the order inflow for FY23? Any guidance you want to give?
The FY23, we cannot give any guidance on order flow. All I can say is that out of the 987 crores of order book that we have today, close to 700 crores is executable over the next 9 months. And the remaining is more long-term in nature, spread over the next 2 to 3 years. As time goes by, we'll be getting more orders from the customer and keep filling up the order book.
Okay. And sir, lastly, if I see the revenue mix, sir, assemble and value-added mix for Q3, it was 68% compared to 73% last year. Then to our EBITDA went up on a YOY basis. So is it largely due to the price, inflation?
No, it's because of the volume growth. If you see a YOY basis, our volume has grown close to 30%.
Yes, but sir, our mix have changed, right? The loose lamination have gone up.
After a point, the economies of scale will kick in. So there will be no additional overhead costs in terms of salaries and other expenses. And your overall realization go up because of the higher tonnage.
Okay. Okay. Got your point, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sanjay Avatramani from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up question. So my question was, what is the total capex we are planning for this current year, FY22, and what are the capex plans for next year, if you can highlight that, sir?
Just give me 1 second to give you the breakup. So, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but based on the estimate, we'll be having about 100 crores of capex being capitalized in this year, that is FY22, another 120 to 150 crores in FY23, and about 70 crores in FY24.
Okay, so this is all planned. I mean, this is already in place that we'll be doing this.
Yes. We had already announced a year and a half ago, if you would recall, a 270 crore capex over 2 years. So we are running a little behind on schedule on that.
Okay, okay. And how are we funding this, sir?
It's a combination of internal accruals and additional debt.
Okay, okay. And if you can share the cost of this debt?
Come again, I couldn't catch that.
So cost of debt and the percentage from internal accruals and debt part.
So the cost of debt is around 8% for INR debt and close to 2.5% for foreign currency debt. A lot of our equipment is imported, so we get equipment finance in foreign currency as well. And in terms of mix, the mix would be 30% equity and 65% debt, 35-65 equity debt.
Okay, sir. This is clear. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Mulesh Savla from Shah & Savla LLP. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Heartiest congratulations on great set of numbers. In fact, my questions are answered. I just want to make one clarification. That incentive we are going to receive, will it come in quarter four or still you are not sure about that?
See, the application is through. It is pending final approval from the government. I believe by end of this month or next month, we are expecting to get the approval.
So once you will get the approval, you will provide for as receivable?
Yes, it will be booked as income.
It will be booked as income on approval?
On approval, on sanction.
Okay, okay, fine. So irrespective of receipt or not, but if it is approved, you will provide it in the current year itself.
Correct. We are not doing it on accrual basis. We are doing it on sanction basis.
Sanction basis. All right. Okay, sir. Thank you and wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhinash, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir, can you give the breakup of the gross block used for loose laminations versus value-added?
It is all combined for us. See, the same equipment will produce the laminations which can go in loose, and the same equipment will use for lamination that goes in assembled and value-added. For us, there's no distinction in terms of either of those two.
No, so specifically, my understanding was we are going to put 100 crore CapEx in the machining plant, and the machining is specifically used for the value-added purposes. So just from that perspective, I was trying to understand.
No, so machining is one of the equipments which is also going into value-add. So apart from machining, we also do processes such as laser cut, assembly, aluminum die casting. So, you know, these are all equipment that add value to the same lamination. So we don't split the gross block into value-add and loose.
Okay. So, sir, next question was, if I look at my imported import versus export, sorry, the domestic versus the export sales. Whereas if I look at my imported silicon steel versus the indigenous silicon steel, so my understanding was that the imported, whatever we export, we import the raw material regarding the exports, but the mix is moving towards more of the domestic silicon steel. So can you give an understanding of why is that so?
It also depends on availability. Firstly, see, it's not like we import for our export. We have multiple suppliers approved both for domestic customers as well as export customers. In our exports, we are entitled for duty-free imports. So wherever possible and approved by the customer, we like to use the duty-free material for our exports. So to that extent, we try to import the raw material based on competitiveness. Sometimes the prices are cheaper in China, Taiwan, Japan, Europe. Sometimes they are more expensive. So depending on that, we take a decision to import or not import.
Okay. Thank you. And, sir, can you give what is the net sale, scrap sales that you have done in this quarter?
Net scrap sales, just give me a second.
And the scrap volumes?
Net scrap sales. I think, we'll get back. We'll give you the answer to that question in writing. Oh, sorry, one second. Just hold on. That's 28.96 crores of scrap sales in the quarter, and just hold on for the volume.
So this is net sales, right?
Yeah, this is net sales. And the quantity is 6,670 tons.
6,670. Listen, just on the scrap front, wanted to understand whatever the benefit that we accrue due to the high realizations that we get, are these passed on to the customers to whom we sell our value-added and loose laminations?
Absolutely. Both the increases as well as decreases, both are passed on.
So, sir, we have no benefit on account of scrap sales increase in realizations by any chance?
No. See, our margins will not improve because commodities have moved either up or down. They'll not improve or deteriorate because of that, both raw material as well as scrap. So the net raw material cost, increase or decrease in net raw material cost, is completely passed on to the customer, increase or decrease.
Okay, that's helpful. Sir, and on the product development expenses, when I was looking at the annual report, close to 4.5% of our gross block is product development expenses. So can you give a clarification, what are these expenses regarding?
So these are tools, softwares, expertise learned, certifications that we receive for various products and processes.
Sir, if I remember correctly, in the last call, you had mentioned on tools that generally the tooling cost is recovered from the customer. So this should form the part of our cost of materials instead of capitalized, right? Is that a correct understanding?
No. See, there are certain customers who generally pay for tools, so most of our customers pay for the first set of tools. After that, it becomes a recurring expense. The tool is a consumable item, but not short-term consumable. So a tool's life is defined in number of strokes, the number of laminations that come out from each tool. And, depending on the material used for the tool, it ranges between 500,000 strokes to close to 100,000,000 strokes. So once the tool life is consumed totally, the replacement tool again is a point of negotiation with us and the customer. Either it is built by us and amortized over supplies or depreciated over supplies, or it is funded by the customer. So it's a commercial understanding between us and the client, so it differs from one to the other. And apart from this, this is the lamination tooling. Then when you go into machining and value add, machining tools are slightly different. They are, you know, capital in nature, because those are, you know, tool holders, tool shanks, which will last for a longer time. So this is like a capital equipment which we need to put into the books.
Okay.
First tooling that you put on the machine.
Okay. Understood, sir. So okay, what is the debt in the books of Pitti Castings as on 31st December?
Pitti Castings is completely debt-free.
Okay, Pitti Castings is completely debt-free. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, one last question was on the order book. When we calculate the order book on, so which is coming to around 980 odd crores. So, sir, do we calculate it on the basis of current prevailing prices that are going on? How is the calculation? Can you just give the order book in terms of tons? That will be much helpful. Hello?
Sorry, your voice was breaking up for me. I couldn't hear you. Can you please repeat the question?
Hello, can you, sir, is my voice audible now?
Yeah, it's audible. Can you please repeat the question? I couldn't hear that.
Yeah, sir, the question was on the calculation of the order book, so it's somewhere around 980 odd crores. So I just wanted to understand, is it calculated based on the current current realizations of steel prices that we see?
Yes, it's done on that basis. See, today, whenever you say order book and forecast, it is based on the POs in hand. Now, these POs, the price will change every quarter. Even if I have a PO for dispatch, the price will be applied to the prevailing quarter in which the sales are made. So, if tomorrow in April the sales, the raw material prices go up, the prices will be revised by the customer. If it goes down, the prices will be downward revised. This is based on today's raw material price. For the open POs in height.
Understood. And so can you keep the order book in terms of volume?
Order book in terms of volume. Just hold on for a second. See, I don't have the number on hand with me right now in that sense, but if I go by my understanding of the things, it should be close to about 20,000 tons.
Okay, so 20,000 tons equates to 987 crores.
Just one second, correct? Sorry, that should be closer to 30,000 tons, not 20,000 tons.
Okay, so the 30,000 tons will be 987 crores, right? From a value perspective. And then one last question.
Just a word of caution on this. Out of the 987, like I mentioned just recently in the last question someone had answered, 700 crores is executable in the next 9 months. The rest, close to 300 crores, is executable over a couple of years, like 2 to 3 years. Those are the longer-term order book. So the executable order book within the next 9 months may be less than 30,000 tons.
So in this 700 crores, how much would be the volumes with respect to 700 crores which we'll be executing in 9 months?
I can't tell you that offhand right now. If you want a detailed question, sorry, detailed answer, you can send it. We'll send you a reply in writing.
Okay, fine. And sir, there was a very major jump in the order book in quarter two vis-a-vis quarter one of FY22, almost a 700 crore jump. So which was the industry from where we got such a huge order which led to such a jump in the order book?
Pretty much from across the business segments that we serve, almost all of them, we've seen increased order visibility and order in hand. So earlier, you know, these guys used to work with a shorter lead time. They used to push us on lead times, open POs not more than a month, month and a half in advance. Due to the global supply chain disruptions, now people are more willing to open a PO ahead of schedule. See, their orders are not like something that they need to execute within 1 month or something that they need a quicker turnaround. They are all, you know, more than 1 year executable. So they always had their orders in hand. They never gave the visibility and orders to the suppliers. Now they have realized it's better to give it to their suppliers. So that change in philosophy at the client end has led to that sudden spurt in order book.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. Thank you. And all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rabindra Nath Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, what is the EBITDA pattern expected for this year, FY22?
Sorry, I can't understand what you just said.
EBITDA pattern, sir. EBITDA pattern for FY22.
For FY22, you mean for quarter four included, what it will be?
Yeah, yeah, it would be. But because you have guided that last year we did around 36,000 rupees per ton. So what would be the figure for this year, FY22? If you can guide the 23 numbers, that would be helpful also. Because it is a trajectory, we quite understand that it is a trajectory, it will be definitely improve in the coming period. So if you can guide on that part, that would be helpful. What is the total tonnage you are expecting this year to be executed? Because you have already done around 24,000 tons. So what would be the total tonnage you expected? That is my second question. So the third would be, will you go for full manufacture of bottles for clients in future? If at all there is a requirement, we'll go for a full manufacture of bottles for the clients. And fourth one is, you have mentioned two EOIs, expression of interest in this, you know, note, so in the presentation. So what is the potential, revenue potential, if it is getting converted to the orders or revenue, what would be the yearly potential we're looking at? So these are the four questions. Can you please answer?
Yeah, so EBITDA per ton, should be about 40,000 per metric ton is what I would say. If you take up till now, we have done close to 97 crores EBITDA as a company in 9 months. We are estimating quarter four to be flattish or maybe slightly improved over quarter three. So we will end the year somewhere around 130, 135 crores EBITDA. In terms of tonnage, we have done close to about 24,000 tons. And again, like I said, Q4 looks flattish because of lack of new equipment coming in. So the tonnage, we should end close to 32,500, 33,000. That would give you EBITDA somewhere around 40,000 per metric ton for the full year.
Okay.
Now, as far as manufacturing of the full motor is concerned, given an opportunity by our clients, we are more than willing and open to do it. Not that we are aggressively pushing it, because that gets into the space of doing what my clients do. So only if they give us an opportunity, we would like to do it. We would not like to force ourselves into that market space.
Okay.
As far as the LOI potential that you mentioned, so as I told you, one LOI comes with a sticker value of 15 crores on the LOI for business. The second one does not come with any planned rupee value or tonnage value. It's more of an exploratory product that we are developing for a very reputed two-wheeler manufacturer for their EV application. If successful, it has a tremendous revenue potential, which I cannot quantify as of now.
Okay. So the LOI for the e-bicycles you mentioned that?
Yes, e-bikes, e-bicycle, e-scooter, all.
Okay, okay. So it is an Indian client or it is an overseas client?
There are two clients which are Indian.
Okay.
And one is a JV with an international company.
Okay. Okay. So when we can see the when a finalization of the this order, or can you please guide something on that?
The one order we have already received. We are developing the product. The other is a LOI, which is being converted to production orders. Right now we are in sample order stage. Soon it should be converted to a production order. So it all depends on how long it takes for them to approve the part, validate it at their end, test it out in the market. So our activity will be done in a short period of time. Then it's over to the client and their processes.
Okay, okay. And sir, about the railway orders, how much of the, around 987 crores order book, what would be the portion of the railways? Can you please specify that?
So when I say railways, I mean locomotive business. This is including Indian Railways, Wabtec, our exports, anything to do with the locomotive segment of the business. out of 987 crores, the locomotive segment of the business should be close to 400 plus crores across all clients and all geography.
Okay, 400 crores you mentioned?
Yes, round about.
Okay, okay. Around 50% you can say 45% is the locomotive sound. Hello?
Yeah.
45% of the locomotive orders.
Of the order book? Yeah, about.
Okay, okay. Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shivang Joshi from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have a few questions. I'll start with your incremental capacity addition. So you said that by FY23, we're targeting to reach 60,000 tons of capacity. So what will be the incremental addition on the machining capacity, if you can quantify?
See, I cannot tell you the incremental offhand, but at the end of FY24, the machining capacity will double from its existing 350,000 machine hours to 700,000 machine hours.
Okay, so it will be in proportion to your sheet metal capacity, the incremental additions that you will do over 23 and 24.
See, it will not be exactly proportionate. I don't understand what you mean by proportionate. It is based on what we see as a demand for those products and services. We are expanding looking at that. So we are looking at increase in uptake of shafts and machine components. So therefore, we are increasing the machine hours based on the current visibility that we have from our clients.
Okay. Okay. That is, I get that. Further, when you're looking at EBITDA per ton, that is a function of how much value addition you're doing. That is what you've been explaining us. So what would be your trajectory of EBITDA per ton? Oh, I mean, you have already said 42,000 in FY23, but going ahead in FY24, FY25, what will be your medium-term, long-term estimate according to you for EBITDA per ton?
See, beyond 1 year, I would not want to hazard a guess because it also depends on the mix of product. Like I said, a new application like EV also, it has a lot of excitement, doesn't come with higher margins. So if the proportion of EV business goes up, so, you know, your margins per ton will actually come down, but it comes at a better ROC. So, you know, it's a balancing act between various end user segments. So beyond FY23, today, it would be very difficult for me to hazard a guess.
Okay, no, so if I'm, so you had given earlier a good trajectory that it could go up by at least 20-25% from the previous level, the 40, or the current level, the 40,000 per ton.
See, It has a potential, definitely, but it also would depend on the proportion of the product mix. So, you would say that we would still like to project 42,000 with a potential upside.
Okay. Let me come to on the revenue mix. So, see, as one of the previous participants, you answered to him, that loco or railways make up roughly 40%, or maybe more, as a part of your total order book. When we see the revenue mix, traction motors, railway components have been roughly around 30% range. So going ahead, do you expect the contribution of railways as a percentage of overall mix to increase? If yes, from what I've understood from you in the previous calls, is locos have a higher EBITDA per ton. So would higher revenue share from railways also increase the blended EBITDA per ton, is my understanding right?
See, just to correct you one point, order book is at 40-45% from the railway side because they typically give you longer term visibility.
Okay.
The railway contracts are multi-year contracts which are spread over into the next years as well. So out of 987 crores, like I said, 700 crores is executable over this 9 months and the rest is over multi-year. So the multi-year part is part of the 400 odd crores railway order book. If you see 1:1, it's not, does not mean that 45% of the order book from locomotive would mean that going forward, locomotives will contribute 45% of revenue.
Okay.
In terms of end user application, we see minor up and down between the segments. So, sometimes renewable energy picks up, it drops a little. Sometimes locomotive goes up a little. So that little bit, 2-3% change in the product mix will keep happening quarter on quarter based on the business dynamics. But not more than that. The existing end user mix, I think, would continue going forward till a new disruptive thing such as the EV would come into the product mix. But something like that happening is at least a year and a half to 2 years away to be anything meaningful.
Okay. So just a brief range. So what would be railway's contribution according to you? Around 30%, which has been the trajectory?
It will be around 30 to 35%. It may go down to 25%. It will go up to 35%. But on an annualized basis, it will be around 30-32%.
If you could give then a similar range for the major components like industrial and commercial motors or power gen, including renewable energy,
it will be around the same. So if you see the last two quarters, we have given you the data. It doesn't change much within the head. It's a function of what is driving a particular segment in that particular quarter. So if you take consumer durables and appliances. Since majority of our sales in that segment go to a ceiling fan business, obviously, in the monsoon season, you not have any sales. But December onwards, those companies start, pulling in their inventory for their peak season, which is summer. So there will be certain seasonalities to certain kind of businesses. For example, windmill business, you not see it grow exponentially or contribute significantly in the monsoon season because installation of windmills will be lower. Mm-hmm. Conversely, something like a stationary power or DG set business would be on the up during that period. So it has certain of bit of seasonality each end user segment based on its own peculiarities. But on an annualized basis, the product mix will be more or less similar. The only thing that will disrupt this equation or the pecking order would be the introduction of EV. And like I said, at least a year and a half to 2 years away to be anything meaningful. Right now, it's all exploratory orders, product development, and LOIs. But in 2 years, definitely it will bring some good volumes with it.
Okay. I mean, since you are catering to almost all the major cab goods players in India, so incrementally in the last couple of, in the recent quarters, which segment has been driving more traction in terms of ordering inquiries from your from the major cab goods players vis-a-vis the situation which was there maybe a year ago? And just confirming, the special purpose motors are mainly used for, you could say that it is a proxy for new capex. So whether that the new inquiries or LOIs have been seeing traction in that space?
Yes, definitely. So if you see quarter on quarter also, that is one segment that has grown in percentage terms and in absolute terms. So special purpose motors, which can be a deemed as a proxy for steel, cement, sugar, and other infrastructure-related business, that is seeing good flow of orders. And the two notable orders that we received in the last quarter, one of them also is contributing from that segment itself. The TMEIC order of 15 crores is also from the special purpose motor segment.
Will it be possible for you to give us an indication of what will be the percentage of special purpose motors of your overall order book, or whether it will be growing faster than the other segments? We just wanted to have an idea, rather, as you said, it's a proxy for your capex. So whether the cycle is actually coming in, we just wanted your views on the same, because you are dealing with the major players.
See, it is one of the barometers. So apart from the special purpose motors, even in a cement plant or a steel plant or a sugar plant, you will require regular motors as well. So, both complement each other. It's not exclusive to each other. Like if it's a new expansion taking place, so it will require a genset also on site. It will require some power plant. It will require, so it's a suite of services that you offer, not just one single thing. But yes, special purpose motors and power gen will outpace the others.
Okay. Last question from my side. That will be on your incentives. I wanted to understand the one. This sanctioning or approvals that you're expecting in the coming months, that will be for FY21's incentive, right?
Correct.
So you have a 1 year lag from the end of the financial year to the sanctioning of the incentive.
Typically, it's about 6 to 8 months right now because of the COVID. It is taking slightly longer, but typically it takes about 6 months.
And post-sanctioning, how long it takes for you to realize that, I mean, to for the receipt of that incentive?
The typical way this whole cycle works is that once we have completed our audited balance sheet, we have to apply to the Maharashtra Industries Department for the incentive claim, along with our GST returns and audit. After that application is submitted, it takes about 2 to 3 months for them to process the application and give us the sanction, and another 3 to 4 months for disbursement of amount. So in a typical year, which is not impacted by extraneous factors, balance sheet is, the final year results are given by May or June, and by December you get the sanction, and by February or March you get the payment.
And this payment will be in the form of credit in your
GST? No, it is in form of cash.
Okay, it is in form of cash. I wasn't interested
in GST. No, it's a reimbursement of GST. So we first pay the GST and clear the goods, and then after the year, we file the claim for reimbursement of the same.
Confirming my understanding. So this, if at all we are not, and this is a state government thing, so the SGST that you might have paid, you are getting the reimbursement of the same. So going forward, maybe 5 years later, if you're not purchasing goods from Maharashtra, your eligibility by default for this incentive will go down. Am I making any...
It is not related to our purchases, it's related to our sales.
Sorry, not purchases, my bad. I meant sales within Maharashtra.
Yeah, it is based on our sales within Maharashtra. If we have the sales, we have the eligibility to claim the incentive. The reason that we set up the facility in Aurangabad is that the highest concentration of our domestic client base is Maharashtra.
Okay,
at a peak level, we'll have far more sales than the requirement for our incentives.
Okay, fair. So the my incentive going to 32 crores from FY20, accounting of the higher income will come only from FY23. I understand.
Yes, for the year FY22, we will be eligible for 32.4 crores, and that will be booked as income in the year FY23.
And it will, for the next 7 plus 7 years, it will be more or less linear in the range of 15 crores. Sorry, in the range of 32 crores.
Yes.
Till the time we exhaust the overall limit of the CAPEX done.
Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity and clarifying that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubkam. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sorry I joined late, so pardon me if I am asking a repetitive question. Sir, how has been the working capital in this quarter?
Working capital was good. We were able to maintain the same level of days outstanding and inventory days as H1 end, and we expect the same part to continue.
Okay, but you were expecting improvement from here. I mean, your total working capital days was 99 days, and you aim to bring it down to 60 days.
So it's already down to from 97 to 92. So some improvement is there. When I say stable, it is still some improvement, and we are working on it. And it will take time. See, it will not happen overnight. So we are fully committed to bringing it down.
And second question was again on, the previous participants was asking about the EBITDA per ton. So I understand that it depends on the product mix. But as investors, what we should assume, because the product mix might change and we might not know how the product mix is going. So once your full capacities, the 60,000 capacity come on stream. So on that, what are your plans in terms of product mix and then EBITDA per ton? What are you targeting for the, when the whole 60,000 capacity come on stream?
See, we are chasing both the lower EBITDA margin per ton business as well as the higher EBITDA margin per ton business. It's not like we are only focused on the higher ones. So the lower ones would be your consumer durables, EV, because there the value add and the scales are very different. So, you know, it's, the EV would be more like an auto ancillary kind of business, not like a discrete engineering manufacturing kind of business. We are also targeting increases in Indian Railways as well as other locomotive and metro related business, which typically come at a significantly better EBITDA margin per ton. So when you go to 60,000, you know, this negative as well as positive impact should even out, and we should see around 42,000 EBITDA per ton.
So, so when earlier you had guided for 48,000 rupees EBITDA per ton, what was there in your mind in terms of product mix and all those?
See, we are still saying that it will go. We are being a little cautious because when we say a number, then everyone, you know, holds to that number. So we have decided to be a little conservative and not say a existing number. Like I mentioned to your colleague who just asked a question a little time ago, that there is an upside. We have been conservatively projecting it at 42,000. Once we get the economies of scale, it will definitely improve from here. So if you are doing a top tonnage of 32,000 and you are doing a tonnage of 60,000, obviously your margins will improve due to the economies of scale. And that is what we had baked in when we had said 48,000.
But, okay. Okay.
So that will that should come to fruition. I mean, if you apply any logic, it should come to fruition. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
And what kind of sales volume you are targeting next year? This year you will be ending from 32,500 to 33,000 tons.
Next year we are targeting close to 40,000.
Okay, 40,000 tons. Okay. And sir, lastly, just again a clarification on this incentive. So in the first three quarters, we have not booked anything. So in fourth quarter, we are expecting something?
So the incentive is once a year event for us. For FY21, we are yet to receive the sanction. The minute we receive the sanction, we have to recognize this as income in our books.
Okay. So and that sanction would be...
The sanction is expected by March end. So it will form part of our overall FY22 income.
So that you'll book into Q4 only if you receive the sanction.
Yes.
And that would be approximately around 15 crores, which you mentioned.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sudhir Veda from Right Time Consultancy. Please go ahead.
The first?
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please speak a little louder, sir.
Sir, just a follow-up question. I think in Q2 con call you said we are not expecting debts to go up by more than 25 crore in spite of all this expansion. So you still hold that view? That will not go up significantly?
Yes, I still hold that. You see, the debt will come down because we'll have the repayments of the previous debts. So close to 40 crores debt is up for repayment in the next 12 months. Whereas if you see, I've said that we are going to add about 120 to 150 crores of capex over the next year with 1:2 debt equity. So about 80 crores of total debt will get added, 40 will get repaid. So the net position will be about 40 crores. Then for the subsequent year, we have 70 crores of capex for FY24. Mm-hmm. Again, at 1:2 debt equity, you know, you're adding only about 35 crores, maybe about 25 or 30 crores of debt. And again, you'll have a huge repayment. So your debt will peak out. It is only to, you know, tide over the timing.
Okay, understood. So yeah, 330 debts, that can go to 370, 380 kind of thing after the full expansion is over. Is it the right understand?
On an average basis, yes. On a peak basis, you know, on a single quarter, it may go up because of the capex ongoing. And then it will drop the next quarter. But if you average it out, it will not go up beyond that.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Piyush Jain, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Sir, while you mentioned about Pitti castings, can you also throw light on Pitti electrical equipment and Pitti components? What kind of businesses do they entail and their revenue? And whether merger is planned for them as well? Hello? Hello? Am I audible?
Yeah. You're audible. So Pitti electrical equipment and components are our holding companies, promoter holding companies. So I don't see any merger possibility with them.
Okay, so the only entity which has other business is Pitti Castings Limited, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. We will now close the question queue. On behalf of Pitti Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. For any further details, meeting and for plant visits, please be in touch with Rama Naidu from Intellect IR on 9920209623. I repeat, the number is 9920209623. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.